But first up, we're going to talk about social media and science and other things and its potential to make us smarter. And I'm delighted to welcome to the show Andrew Jackson from TCD. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
Okay, so tell us about this study anyway, and maybe first of all, your theoretical ecology research group. What do you do there?
Sure. So we're based in Trinity College in the School of Natural Sciences, and we're sort of a collection of ecologists and evolutionary biologists, mostly interested in animal biology. And we develop and are interested in explaining why, how things have evolved, how behaviors have evolved, and most of the time we use a combination of mathematical and computational approaches to ask questions and basically simulate evolution.
Okay, simulate, and that's fascinating, to simulate evolution. Well, one of the problems, I suppose, for anyone trying to look at evolution, human evolution, is how do you look at something humans develop over thousands, millions of years in the lab?
Sure. Well, this is absolutely the problem, and why a lot of the studies to date they end up being correlative. So you end up doing studies maybe across animal species, across primates, looking, you maybe measure their group size and you measure their brain size and you say, well, okay, the ones with the bigger, more social groups tend to have bigger brains, but that doesn't tell you what caused what. It doesn't prove the link between the two.
And we should tell people that one of the things that you were interested in is human intelligence, where this came from.
Absolutely. I think one of the most astonishing things about humans is our intelligence. It lets us ask questions, it lets us have art, it lets us do science, and that's different from all the other animals.
Okay. Now, I know it's not exactly your area, but maybe paint a kind of a general picture of, you know, how we've emerged from the caves, essentially, and developed into a modern society. I mean, this is something to do with intelligence, isn't it?
Sure, yeah. So, I mean, we're all used to where we are currently at the moment with our well-developed society and our well-developed, ability to think and problem solve, but we didn't come from that historically. Historically, we came from the apes. We at some stage must have been some social group of apes that ended up forming clusters of groups, ended up helping each other out a bit more. And then I think through this process of helping each other out, then we developed other ways to solve problems. We developed tool use, and it all kind of just spiraled together to get us to where we are. But that's sort of the simple explanation. But actually, getting to the nuts and bolts of how and why is more challenging.
Okay, well let's look at how you did it experimentally, because that's a challenge, isn't it? You used computers, you used artificial intelligence to simulate human evolution. How did you do that?
That's right. So I have in the past developed what are called artificial neural networks. These are sort of like little digital brains in a computer, and they represent exactly how brains take in and process information. And one of my PhD students, Luke McNally, came up with a great idea of taking these neural network models and letting them evolve, basically pitting them against each other in this sort of these classic social games where we can look at how the need to cooperate and the need to maybe cheat on each other just a little bit shapes and might force and drive through intelligence. And sure enough, this is what we found, that having to play these cooperative games is a powerful driver for the evolution of intelligence.
So it was kind of like getting these digital brains to play games against each other was equivalent to human society, and that's what you're trying to replicate.
Absolutely, that's exactly it. So at some point in our evolutionary past, we would have been forming these social groups, and there would have been situations where cooperating with your neighbor would have been beneficial, and other times when maybe cheating on them would have been beneficial as well. And it's trying to explain how cooperation has emerged, even though there's this constant desire to maybe cheat on your neighbour, is one of the fundamental difficulties.
Okay, and so you ran this model anyway. Maybe we should actually mention one of the games. I know there was a couple of games, but maybe this prisoner dilemma game, right? I know that was one of the games. What does that involve?
Yeah, so the prisoner dilemma is often used as a sort of abstract way of capturing this type of social dilemma. And the sort of scenario is that maybe you and I have been arrested for some sort of crime, and we've been locked away in two separate interview rooms by the police, and we've been asked, do you want to basically dob the other person in? Do you want to cheat on them?
We've seen it in all the cop dramas.
We've seen it in all of the cop dramas, exactly. So the temptation for me, obviously, as an individual, is that I would say, yeah, Sean did it. And I didn't do it, it was all Sean. And my hope then is that you would say nothing, and you wouldn't blame me. And what would happen then is you'd go off to prison, pay the whole crime, and I'd walk out.
So you're gambling there to take advantage of my loyalty.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly it. And then after that, of course, the next best thing for us both, for me as an individual anyway, is for both of us to say nothing. Then the next best thing is if both of us cheat on each other, or the next worst thing, sorry, the next worst thing is if both of us cheat on each other, then we end up paying a price as well. And then similarly, the worst, absolute worst case thing that could happen to me is that I stay loyal, you cheat on me, and I go down for the whole thing.
So the importance of this dilemma then for your system to study human evolution is what exactly? What kind of, why is that game important or useful?
Well, it's been classically used in the past, and it's because it creates this dilemma. It's because if you and I meet one time, if we only committed, it's kind of, this is where it gets a bit crazy, if you and I only committed this crime once,
we only know each other as a once-off.
One time, we only play this game one time, we end up being interviewed by the police once, then the best thing for us both to do is always cheat on each other.
Right.
Always cheat.
Okay.
The problem happens when, and this is more subtle in sort of social scenarios, you can imagine this game happens on more often, on maybe a daily timescale in a different context, but now if you and I start repeatedly playing this game and repeatedly ask what to do, then all of a sudden, actually the best thing in the long run for us both to do is to cooperate.
Yeah, so this sounds to me like how our economy works, because, you know, you could rip somebody off in a business transaction, but if you have to go back to them, then that actually doesn't make sense.
Absolutely, that's exactly the kind of scenario. So that's that sort of repeated setup of playing this game again and again and again. And what you have to do there is be able to spot the people that are loyal and reward them with loyalty. You have to spot the ones that cheat on you and return the cheat back at them again.
Yes.
And equally then, there is this sort of temptation to have to maybe cheat on people just enough every now and then and try
to bend
and get away.
The rules. Now, I know you ran your computer modeling, is that the way to describe it, through the equivalent of something like 50,000 generations, so that could be million and a half years possibly of human evolution.
Yeah, exactly.
So tell us what you saw
when
you ran it into the future. Imagine it's into the future, 1 million years.
Exactly. So what we saw is basically the little society that we create these things randomly at the beginning, and they're not very good at cooperating. You know, they're pretty simple brains, they're not very good at cooperating. But then what you find is that every now and then people start being able to, these little brains start being able to remember who did what to whom, and they start being able to cooperate. And then when you get a small amount of cooperation emerges in the very, very beginning, then all of a sudden there's huge pressure on you to develop more, invest more in developing a bigger brain to keep track of more of the interactions, and then that person does better. They end up having more offspring. They have more children. These children are like themselves. They're clever. Then these clever individuals need to be even more clever to outsmart the clever individuals in the next generation. You kind of get a cascade effect, a snowballing, if you like, of ever more increasing the intelligence.
And there's a point where this just takes off, this human intelligence, isn't there?
Yeah, you sort of just cross this threshold then, and it just races away and it takes off, and you get these really intelligent individuals tricking each other, trying to outsmart each other. And then though, in our model, because our model, it only tests this one game, it doesn't have things like tool use, what we find then is actually the simple cooperators just take over. These are people that just cooperate regardless of what anyone does to them, because they're in there, they can get the benefits of the cooperation without investing in their big brain. And then what you find is the society sort of crashes back again. You get a sort of invasion of simple, naive cooperators, then the cheats come in and take advantage of them and the whole thing.
So does this suggest if human society was set up and that it wasn't seen to be fair and there was too many people cheating, that the whole edifice would come crashing down possibly?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose one of the dangers is that you just end, and this is what we saw in our model, is if you have a society that just starts blindly cooperating, you know, you just start blindly, naively helping each other out, and you don't bother paying attention, you don't invest in a big brain, then the society can collapse because the cheap just come in and take over and basically ruin it for everyone.
Okay. And I'm thinking also that maybe somebody who bends the rules but isn't an outright cheat, that type of person benefits in this situation.
Those are the ones that do the best by far, for sure. Absolutely, they're the ones that do the best by far.
Okay. And people might be asking themselves, like, you know, at what point are we on the evolutionary scale? Now, this brings us back to Facebook and all the other social media. So at the moment, that would seem to be making us smarter because it's forcing us into more interactions.
That's right, yeah. So, the way we interact with other human beings has changed quite dramatically, I think, over the last, you know, 5 to 10 years, and even over the last couple of years with the rise of things like Facebook and Twitter. And now all of a sudden we're maybe not, okay, we might not be talking to our neighbors as much, or actual like household neighbors as much, but we're certainly connecting with people globally all around the world in a new kind of social way.
Does this mean that actually, just to put in the side, I just looked up when Facebook was founded, 2004, which is incredible, you know. But anyway, does this mean that the people that don't, you hear some people saying, I have no interest in social media, they're going to get left behind? They're eventually, you know, there's going to be an evolutionary pressure to take part in more social interactions in whatever way.
Yeah, so this is kind of funny, you know, this is kind of an awkward thing when it comes to humans, you know, because we're not really under that much evolutionary pressure. You know, we're accumulating things like I myself need to wear glasses every day. So, you know, as a society, we've created healthcare and created a system of equality where we can sort of look after everybody equally, and we're not really under the same kind of evolutionary pressures. But there was this paper, really interesting paper, published last year in the same journal, actually, as ours came out in.
Proceedings of National Academy of Science, is it?
Proceedings of the Royal Society.
Oh, it's Royal Society, sorry, B, yeah.
So it's based in London. But there's a Professor Geraint Rees based in UCL in London, and they did this nice study where they looked at structures in your brain. They actually imaged people's brains, and mm-hmm. they looked at, particularly they focused on the areas of the brains that are known to be used for memory, for social memory, for interacting with other human beings. And they found that people who had lots of friends on Facebook also tended to have large parts of these brains. These brain structures as well for keeping track of social interactions. This is really cool.
So that's maybe could possibly force a new evolution towards people who have these areas developed.
Yeah, for sure. So the real question here is, and they point this out in the paper, the real question, and they can't quite get at it yet, is it people that have large parts of these brains, are these the kinds of people that use Facebook? Or is it that using Facebook increases and enlarges the size of the brains? And it's that sort of tantalizing.
I see what you mean. That's a tricky one to get at. But listen, it's fascinating stuff, and thanks very much for coming on and talking to us. And we'll follow your research, if anything else. What's next on the agenda now?
Next on the agenda is we're doing something kind of crazy with how animals perceive time.
Oh, sounds cool.
Yeah.
Well, listen, maybe you'll come back and tell us about that when make some more progress. Okay.
Thanks.
That's Andrew Jackson. He's an assistant professor at Trinity College in Dublin, the Theoretical Ecology Group. He's doing fascinating work on computer modelling, how humans are going to evolve into the future. And it's all based around cooperation and Facebook. And these things appear to be making us smarter rather than dumber.